Read Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Happy Saturday, folks. I am broadcasting to you from Twin Falls, Idaho. In fact, I have to get on the road here in not too long. It's early, early in the morning to Idaho Falls, Idaho. Been signing at Barnes & Noble in Twin Falls. Great folks. Hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of readers in this area. And same with over there at Idaho Falls, and it's been great to see a lot of my readers, meet a lot of new readers. It's been really terrific, and thanks to the staffs of the Barnes & Nobles, because they've been great too. I'll be back in Denver next week. You can check my signing schedule. Go to itisourstory.com or threadswestseries.com. Click on book signings, and you will have my schedule. In fact, you'll probably know my schedule better than I will. I check it every other day to kind of see where I'm supposed to be. You know, one of the things that I have noticed, before I start, let me tell you what we're going to cover today, because we have a lot of ground to cover. Number one, we're going to talk about this outrageous situation in California with an obvious terror attack. And a president, and a White House, and a bunch of other, now I won't use the word, a bunch of other morons, intentional morons, in the United States government that still want to try and pretend that this might be workplace violence. We don't have the investigation, we don't have this, it makes you want to puke. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the administration's even more obvious ties with the Muslim Brotherhood in relation to this California shooting and trying to mask its Muslim origins, its origins in the Quran, the ties to Islam, or the absolute bonds between Islam and Islamists, that is, Islamic extremists, jihadis, Islamic terrorists, you know, all those words that our government doesn't want to use. We're going to talk about the president being caught in a number of lies. Oh, gee, well, what's new about that? In the last week or so, and his just, you know, outrageous behavior. Which pundits still, of course, sit on TV and go, oh, you know, he just doesn't know, he doesn't understand, he's just stupid. No. The guy is brilliant. He understands. He knows. It's part of a plan, folks. We'll be talking a little bit more about that. We're going to talk about how this ties into global warming and gun control. And I got some interesting stats for you on what the EPA is doing and what it's going to mean to your pocketbook. We're going to talk about some stuff that you haven't heard, because, you know, this administration, the progressives, spelled communists, love to use not only a crisis to better their agenda or forward their agenda, but they love to use a crisis that everybody's attention is directed on to get other nefarious things that undermine America and American values and redistribute wealth. They love to get those things done while everybody is redirected, shall we say. And there's been some of that going on. In fact, some really major stuff going on. Some stuff to do with the climate change BS in Paris. Wait till you hear what the real scam is on that. And having to do, of course, with gun control. You can hear the real scam on that. Did you know that Obama, last night, that is Friday night, the victims in California, in what is clearly a terrorist attack. And we're going to talk about why we know it's clearly a terrorist attack. Obama was meeting with Gabby Gifford on gun control in the White House, and therefore he was just too busy to address the American people or offer condolences to the 33, that's 14 plus 21, 35, excuse me, victims, 14 of them fatalities, of the biggest terror attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. Because he was talking about gun control. As if gun control had anything to do with terrorism. In fact, at the end of this show, I'm going to tell you what I think we can do that would absolutely shut down, or shall we say, greatly curtail, attempted and actual terrorism in this country. And it's just the opposite of what these morons want to get done. But remember, they're not morons. They're brilliant. It's part of a plan. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Google and Apple. And Microsoft. And we're going to tell you that we may be losing those companies to foreign countries. Huge employers. Because of what this administration is doing. Once again, I think, intentionally. And we're going to talk about one of the major, major events of the week, and that's called the SDR basket. And you're scratching your head, what the hell is the SDR basket? The SDR basket is the International Monetary Fund's basket of currencies. And guess who just got status there? With the American dollar, the Japanese yuan, and the European euro. That's right, the Chinese yuan. The demise of the dollar has now been accelerated. I'll explain it to you. So, I'll tell you what, without further ado, since your cowboy author, lowly Wyoming rancher, 2 plus 2 is 4, water runs downhill type of guy, has to get on the road here shortly, let's start. So we have Barry Obama. We have Hillary Clinton, and we have despicable Valerie Jarrett, Tehran-born Muslim, closest advisor to the White House, friend of the Muslim Brotherhood, instrumental in planting Brotherhood operators in positions of high authority, including the national security apparatus. Much to our peril. And we have them out there the day of the terror attack in California. I must tell you, I'm not patting myself on the back. You know, I heard that on the news. Literally, I had just flown into Salt Lake to drive up to Twin Falls. And I caught it on the news for about a minute and a half. Really, 90 seconds. And you know, just in that minute and a half, and this was right after, I mean, they hadn't even caught the terrorist and his wife, actually the two terrorists. She might be the terrorist, he might be the follow-along. They hadn't even caught them yet. And just what I heard about what had happened, the ski masks, the black suits, the type of armament, the fact that there was more than one perp, the fact that it was well planned, there was explosives, blah, blah, blah. And I went, oh, this is Islamic terror. These guys are going to wind up having, I'll call it Muslim names, Mideast names, which of course the press at that time didn't want to release. And neither did the government, I'm sure, because of pressure by the administration. And you know what? In that 90 seconds of scattered news, which, you know, was confused as it always is at the beginning of a situation, my determination was proven exactly right. So in 90 seconds, the cowboy figured out this was Islamic terror. And here we are, what, 3 days, give or take, later? And the President of the United States hasn't said anything about it, hasn't admitted has only tacitly admitted that it's terror, but it could still be workplace violence. You know, for like Fort Hood. He managed to call that workplace violence for 5 years. The guy shouting, "Allahu Akbar." Definite proof that he'd been online with Ansarwaki, who was later nailed by a drone, getting instigated to kill fellow military servicemen, killed and wounded 39 people. In fact, the only reason that's not the biggest terror attack is that there were more fatalities in the California shooting. There was actually more overall injuries, though slightly less fatalities, in the Fort Hood shooting. And Obama managed to keep that as workplace violence for 5 years, depriving, I might add, those military families of all sorts of benefits. Not to mention much more minor things like Purple Hearts for those soldiers who were wounded there rather than killed. I mean, this is the MO of this president. Now, I don't know if any of you out there, including you liberal listeners who always send me these ridiculous emails, you never want to post on the site. Can you really sit there and say that this guy is at the least not a Muslim sympathizer? Really? And none of you have gone and read his book yet, right? His own book, Dreams From, not Of, From My Father. Wow. You know, open your eyes. 2 plus 2 really is 4. Not just in Wyoming, but like universally. Water really does run downhill, not just in Wyoming, but universally. And your eyes aren't lying to you, and neither are your ears. So in the last week, the president has told us again that ISIS is contained. He has told us that ISIS is not a homeland threat. That we've hardened, I quote, we've hardened our defenses, unquote. At the same time, we learn now that another of the Paris attackers was a fake refugee. So now 2 of the 8 folks directly involved in the attacks, we don't know how many of the 25, as I told you, 8 could never do it alone when it happened. We don't know how many of the 25 were actually fake refugees. But we do know that 25%, 2 of 8, of the perps in the Paris deal were fake Syrian refugees, fake passports, the whole 9 yards. And I'm going to read you a little article here. This is just 12 people. 12 vetted. This will give you a lot of... let me adjust this mic here for a moment. Okay, there we go. This will give you a lot of faith in our vetting process for these Syrian refugees. That the federal government doesn't tell the states they're putting in their states, doesn't inform the governor, won't give them the location. Does it? Check my show from the last 2 weeks. Listen to them. How these Syrian refugees get selected by the UN with special emphasis, including LGBT, by the United States government, and then how they are funneled through NGOs like the Catholic Relief Fund and others who are not subject to FOIA, not subject to accountability, not subject to disclosure. It's pretty scary. So, here's 12 refugees who were vetted and allowed into the U.S. over the last several years. This is just 12, folks. And I just misspoke. Not over the last several years. This is during the year 2015. This year. Okay. And if I don't pronounce the names right, A, apologies to my listeners, and B, who cares? I think you'll get the idea. Laban Haj Mohammed. They like that Mohammed name, don't they? a native of Somalia, which, by the way, although people aren't talking about it, is as big a problem, if not a bigger problem, than the Syrian refugees, particularly with the concentrations of Somali refugees, undisclosed by the federal government, in the Minnesota area, particularly around Minneapolis. Anyway, Laban Haj Mohammed, native of Somalia, he was arrested for providing material support to Al-Shabaab and Al-Qaeda after he got to the United States. Then there's this guy, Abin Nisser Mohammed. Oh, how do you like that? Another Mohammed, except he spells it with a U rather than E. Ibrahim, also from Somalia. He was sentenced to 15 years in federal prison for conspiring to provide material support to Al-Shabaab. This is all in 2015, folks. Then there's another guy, Abdullah Ramo Pizarra. He's a Bosnian native. He received legal status in America, but left to join Islamic State. You know, ISIS, they don't have anything to do with Islam, according to SOP John Kerry. Yeah, it's unbelievable. He left to join ISIS after being in the United States for 11 days. He's vetted, he comes into the United States, and 11 days later he leaves to join ISIS. Supposedly he was killed in Syria. Oh, God rest his soul. And he was never formally charged. Well, that makes sense since he was dead. Then there's a guy by the name of Ramiz Jihad Hadzik. And he had a buddy, Nahad Rasik, both from Bosnia. They were charged with conspiring to provide material support and resources to terrorists and conspiring to kill and disfigure people in a foreign country, i.e., the United States. Then we have another one, Sadina Unkik Hadzik. And then Ramiz Jihad Hadzik's wife. You gotta love it. Wife, she was charged with conspiring to provide material support and resources to terrorists. And then we have Armin Hezvik and Mediha Midi Salvasevic. And they had a buddy, Jasminka Ramek, all from Bosnia. And they were charged with conspiring to provide material support and resources to terrorists. Then we have Abdurrahman Yasin Daud and Gulid Ali Omar. They were born in a Kenyan refugee camp. They were given refugee status in the United States in 2015 and almost immediately got involved with Islamic Jihad, which I'm sure they had already been involved with to begin with, and were charged with conspiracy and attempting to provide material support to the Islamic State Group, i.e. ISIS. And then we have Fazidin Kurbanov. He was from Uzbekistan. He was found guilty of conspiracy and attempting to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization and for possession of an unregistered destructive device. That's called a bomb. Now, those are just a sampling of the so-called refugees, and none of them, did you notice, were from Syria. That's yet to come. Of the so-called refugees who were vetted by the Obama administration and the Department of State before being allowed in this country, and then almost immediately involved in jihadi activities, putting at risk the health, safety, and welfare of you and your family and other Americans and the infrastructure of this country in the same year that they were admitted. In one guy's case, 11 days later. And the Obama administration assures us time and time again we have nothing to fear from the widows and orphans. Really. Okay. So, that should give you a lot of faith in how we're doing. The only honest guy in this whole thing is Director Comey of the FBI, who tells us flat out he can't get it done. And do you think there's any coincidence with the fact that the Obama administration will not press for, ask for, or use its slush fund of billions of dollars to hire more agents for the FBI? Do you think there's a coincidence that they're making the FBI's investigatory and control backpack exponentially heavier as they bring in more and more refugees? You have more and more people to try and vet. We've already been told that's impossible. I think that little list I gave you, which was just a sampling, kind of shows it. I think the Paris deal shows it. And so on one hand, he is not enhancing our resources to keep the American people safe. On the other, he's increasing the load that those agencies who are honest and are trying to keep us safe have to bear with already limited resources. You don't think this is a coincidence? You think he's just stupid or incompetent? Or do you think this guy really wants bad stuff to happen? I think the latter. I think it's just another evidence of treason, and not just by Barry. And of course, any of these things that happen, the first thing Barry did, I'm talking about, you know, this was within an hour or two of the reports breaking out of California. He tried to tell us it was workplace violence. One of his administration, I guarantee this is going to come out, planted the story that this guy, this terrorist, had an argument and then came back to the Christmas party of the county employees with his wife. I guess he managed to make 12 pipe bombs in an hour, get all his weapons in an hour, get 5,000 rounds of ammo in an hour, and all his equipment and gear in an hour, and just return in a fit of blind rage. So somebody planted that story, because as the investigation has proceeded here, there's absolutely no evidence of it whatsoever. Not in witness accounts, not in anything. It's a planted story. It's like the video in Benghazi. It is the MO of this administration. When lips move, lies come out. It's all about agenda. This president doesn't give a hoot about the United States or American citizens or the safety of you and your family. Period. If this is not clear to you by now, it never will be. And I must say, I have to question your cognitive reasoning if it's not crystal clear. And then he starts talking about gun control. And Hillary Clinton gets on the bandwagon, and she's just as bad as he is. This is the Clinton-Obama foreign policy at work. She gets on the bandwagon talking about gun control. And Bernie Sanders, and that moron who runs New York, de Blasio, and Cuomo, the governor of New York, and everybody's running around, oh, it's time for that gun control. This is when they thought maybe their planted story of workplace violence was going to be accepted. What they didn't count on was the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, testifying before Congress, and he flat said, contrary to exactly the opposite of what the president said, with those big brown eyes and that earnest look of his and that measured tone, that ISIS truly was constrained, and they truly weren't taking on more territory, and blah, 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 blah. You've heard it all. He got up in front of Congress and said, that's BS. They're not contained. They're expanding. They're growing more dangerous by the day. He directly countermanded the commander-in-chief. And you know, I applaud him for being honest. I applaud him for being American. I applaud him for living up to the oath of his position. And I applaud him for putting America first. Before ideology, before the before Islam, before political correctness, and before any tragic allegiance to the President of the United States, because the allegiance of a military man, whether you are a lowly private or a four-star general, is to the Constitution of the United States and to the citizens of the United States. This guy understands that. I applaud him. And then FBI Director Comey gets up today in the face of the administration still trying to pawn this off like Major Hassan, whatever the guy's name is, the terrorist Muslim scumbag who shot up Fort Hood. How's that? That should be his name. And he made it very clear, Director Comey did, that this was a terror attack, and went through the evidence, including, and you've probably heard this, including the wife that had come from Saudi Arabia, and that's how she got in the country, was on a special visa because she was engaged to be married to this guy, including the wife pledging allegiance to ISIS and al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, like minutes before they opened fire on these poor people at this Christmas party. Which brings me to an interesting point. You know, sometimes in a complex situation or something which appears complex, sometimes the simple answer is the right answer. Let's see. Jihadis and Islamic extremists feel they are commanded by Muhammad and the Quran to kill infidels and apostates and people not of the faith. And what better place to demonstrate that empowerment by Muhammad, by the Prophet? What better place to demonstrate that than at a Christmas party? This had nothing to do with workplace violence. These people were targeted because, A, they were government and the enemy. America is the enemy of Islamists, of Islamic Jihad, of extreme radical Muslims. Number two, maybe more importantly, because it was a Christmas party. It was a frontal assault on Christians. And number three, because it was a gun-free zone. And they knew damn well nobody in that room, nobody in that building would have a gun to confront them. And we'll talk about that more at the end of the show. Then we have the despicable spectacle of Loretta Lynch, our quote-unquote attorney general. She's smoother than Eric Holder, but she's just as bad. I mean, I made up my mind when she didn't prosecute Lois Lerner after all that evidence came out of intentional discrimination, intentional prosecution, intentional delay of conservative groups and Tea Party groups by Lerner and her henchmen at the IRS, and the destruction of evidence by the IRS director. I can go on and on. I don't want to get off on a tangent here. But she showed her colors. And you know what? She showed her colors again today. Her colors are now becoming vivid and bright in my mind. I had hopes that she might be honest, but she's not. She's just a low-keyed, perhaps more clever, Eric Holder. So she gets up at a press conference today. Not today, yesterday, excuse me, Friday. It all runs together, let me tell you, when you're on the road. And she said that her biggest fear, you got to Google this up and listen to her words exactly. Her biggest fear was people's anger against Muslims and the fact that Muslims might be in danger and, you know, might be made to feel uncomfortable and harassed and there might be violence. Well, nobody wants violence against Muslims other than Muslim extremists, jihadis, and Islamists, who all need to be put down. Whether they're here in the United States or whether they're over there in Syria and Iraq, guess what? Birds of a feather. And she actually got up in front of the American people at a press conference shortly after the president issued his more lies, more nonsense to CBS this morning, yesterday morning. She actually got up and said that her biggest fear was that people would overreact toward Muslims. Really? That's your biggest fear? You don't give a damn about American people dying. You don't give a damn about 34 people getting killed or wounded, some critically, at a Christmas party. You don't see any correlation with the fact that Muslim extremists attacked a Christmas party. That's not a hate crime. I mean, the whole thing is pathetic. There's only one good thing out of this, and that is that a lot of people who, for whatever reason of forgiveness, were willing to give Barry and his progressive crew the quote-unquote benefit of the doubt, as people like to say, I think they're over it. Because what we're seeing out of this president, his attorney general, his secretary of state, Hillary Clinton, who was his secretary of state and who's wed by the hip to him on this foreign policy fiasco, intentional fiasco. What we're seeing out of him is black and white, folks. This guy is no more Christian than I am, you know, 21 years old and wear a red cape with blue tights. Sorry. Whether or not he's a Muslim, I don't know, but I have my suspicions. That he's a Muslim sympathizer, listen to my shows from a few weeks ago. I mean, even Bill O'Reilly, who is the king of the benefit of the doubt when it comes to this president, agrees that he has at the least Muslim sympathies. Now, that's putting it mildly. So, then we have the L.A. Director of CARE, C-A-I-R, which is really, by the way, folks, just so you know, I've done shows on this, Google them up. CARE is just the front group. It's the PR face of the Muslim Brotherhood here in America. That's all they are. And their favorite deal, like the president, because, you know, he's a Muslim Brotherhood guy, and Valerie Jarrett is a Muslim Brotherhood gal. Like the president, they try and deflect everything away from Islam. It was this, it was that, it could have been this. And this guy made one outrageous comment saying, you know, America's foreign policy, its support of coups against duly elected governments. And by the way, he's talking about the overthrow by the Egyptian people and the installation of the Egyptian military in Egypt following the election of the Muslim Brotherhood and their absolute boondoggle attempted governance and imposition of strict Sharia law several years ago. That's what he's talking about, just so you know. But he blamed America for the terrorists because, you know, it's our policy that caused them to make pipe bombs and go out and shoot people at a Christmas party. So that's typical. And then you had that kind of substantiated, bulwarked, supported, if you will, by two moron attorneys who get up in front of the press, supposedly representing the mother who lived at this very small apartment-type domicile, where they were making pipe bombs and had containers of pellets to fill the pipe bombs with in the baby's clothing closet, and says she doesn't know anything about this. She never saw it. Remember the picture of the monkey with, you know, there's one picture with a monkey with his hands over his eyes, there's another picture of a monkey with his hand over his mouth, and there's another picture of a monkey with his hand over his ears. That's her. She's the three monkeys all rolled into one. She saw nothing, heard nothing, smelled nothing, spoke nothing. She didn't know. It was all new to her. shocking revelation. Right. The grandmother who, the grandmother of the six-month-old baby of these terrorists, and the mother who lives in this tiny little house, we're literally going to walk all over each other to go anywhere. I don't know if you saw the press pictures of it. She never went in the baby's closet and never saw all these containers of gun oil and pellets and all that. I mean, she didn't know anything about this stuff. Not a thing. Anyway, her supposed attorneys were out there once again trying to say this didn't have anything to do with Islam and this wasn't really religiously based and, you know, it could have been workplace violence and the investigation is still ongoing. All the usual tripe. I mean, they could have been Obama. Obama could have been them. They all could have been Loretta Lynch. They all could have been Valerie Jarrett, who's at least smart enough to stay behind the scenes so nobody sees her. Where she can do more damage, I might add. I mean, it's just pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.